Think about the last long cross-country you flew. Maybe it was 500 miles, maybe 800. You planned your fuel stops, your alternates, your weather windows. You filed your flight plan, got your weather briefing, and at some point during the cruise, you probably trimmed her up and thought about what a remarkable thing it is to navigate across hundreds of miles. Now imagine doing that without a pilot, autonomously, in a hostile electronic environment where someone on the ground is actively trying to confuse your navigation. And imagine doing it not for 500 miles, but for somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 miles or more, one way, at low level, avoiding radar detection the entire time. That is roughly what Ukraine says happened this week. And whether you follow the war closely or not, what just occurred over Russian airspace is an aviation story. A big one. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about what these drones actually did, why the range is the headline. The headline isn't telling you, and what any of this means for the future of airspace, unmanned systems, and the skies you and I fly in every day. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Ukraine this week claimed what it is calling its deepest drone strike of the war. The target, according to Ukrainian officials and reporting from Aerotime, was gas processing infrastructure in Western Siberia. To put that in geographic terms, Western Siberia is not near the Ukrainian border. It is not a border region. It is the interior of Russia, thousands of miles from where these drones launched. The distance involved is the thing you need to sit with for a moment. The widest point of the contiguous United States, coast to coast, is roughly 2,800 miles. These drones flew distances comparable to crossing a significant portion of that span, in hostile territory at low altitude, under active electronic warfare conditions, without a pilot in the loop for the bulk of the flight. That is not a hobbyist drone. That is not even close to what most people picture when they hear the word drone. This is a category of aircraft that deserves a different conversation entirely. Let's start with the range problem, because any pilot knows this is not simple. A fixed-wing aircraft flying 2,000 or more miles needs fuel, or in the case of an electric system, energy storage that is still nowhere near capable of that range in a small airframe. Ukraine has not publicly detailed the propulsion system on these strike drones, and the specifics remain classified or unconfirmed. But the most likely answer, based on open-source analysis and reporting, is that these are small turbine or piston-powered fixed-wing aircraft, not multi-router systems, think of them. Less like a consumer drone and more like a small single-engine aircraft with no cockpit. A one-way trip, expendable, carrying an explosive payload. The design philosophy is closer to a cruise missile than to the drones most civilian pilots encounter, but they are slower than traditional cruise missiles, which makes them harder to detect with certain radar systems tuned to look for high-speed inbound threats. They fly at low altitude, hugging terrain. They can be launched from vehicles, and apparently, a significant number of them can be launched simultaneously to saturate air defenses. The navigation piece is where this gets particularly interesting from an aviation standpoint. Russia has been aggressively jamming GPS across large portions of its territory and surrounding regions for years. If you have flown in parts of Eastern Europe or the Baltic states recently, you may have noticed GPS anomalies on your avionics. Russian electronic warfare systems do this intentionally. It is a documented problem for civilian aviation in the region. So how do these drones navigate when GPS is unreliable or actively denied? The answer, as best as open-source analysis can determine, involves a combination of techniques. Inertial navigation systems, which track position through accelerometers and gyroscopes without relying on external signals. Terrain-following algorithms, where the drone compares what its sensors see against preloaded topographic maps and corrects its position accordingly. And in some cases, optical navigation, using cameras and image recognition to identify landmarks and match them to stored data. This is, in simplified terms, what your Garmin does when it cross-checks GPS position with terrain data. Except there is no GPS to rely on. The drone is dead reckoning with enough sensor fusion to stay on course for thousands of miles and still find a small industrial facility in the middle of Siberia. That is impressive engineering. Whatever you think about the political context, the engineering is remarkable. Now, here's why this matters beyond the headlines. Militaries and defense analysts have understood for years that long-range autonomous aircraft change the strategic calculation for every nation in the world. But what Ukraine has demonstrated is that this capability is not limited to superpowers with trillion-dollar defense budgets. These drones are estimated to cost somewhere in the range of $20,000 to $100,000 each, depending on the platform. Compare that to a cruise missile, which can run $1 to $2 million. Or a strike aircraft sortie, which factors in the aircraft, the pilot training, the logistics chain, and the risk to human life. The cost exchange problem is real, and it is going to accelerate unmanned aviation development across the military and eventually the civilian world faster than almost any other single factor. Let's talk about what that development trajectory means for the airspace you fly in. The conversation around unmanned aircraft systems integration, which the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, calls UAS integration, has been ongoing since at least 2012. The FAA Modernization and Reform Act of that year directed the agency to safely integrate drones into the national airspace system. 14 years later, that integration is still a work in progress. Remote identification rules are in effect beyond visual line of sight operations, which the industry calls BVLOS, are being approved on a case-by-case basis. Urban air mobility corridors are being studied, but we do not have a seamless system yet. Part of the reason integration has been slow is that the technology and the regulatory framework are trying to solve a problem that keeps growing faster than either one can keep up with. When the FAA first started seriously working on drone integration, the primary concern was hobbyist quadcopters flying near airports. Then commercial delivery drones became the focus. Then urban air mobility and air taxis. Now the latest generation of long-range systems is demonstrating what autonomous fixed-wing aircraft can do over intercontinental distances. Each of those categories requires a different regulatory approach, and none of them map neatly onto the existing rules built for manned aviation. Here's what you need to know as a pilot flying in the current environment. The airspace around you has drones in it, not just hobbyists. Commercial operators are flying BVLOS routes in corridors approved through a patchwork of waivers and authorizations. Drone delivery is active in parts of the country, and the military operates unmanned systems in restricted and warning areas that appear on the sectional charts you use every day. The collision risk between manned and unmanned aircraft is a subject of active FAA research. The agency has been collecting near-miss data and modeling risk probabilities. The short version is that the risk is real, but not yet statistically dominant compared to other collision hazards. The concern is that as drone density increases, that calculus changes. The FAA's detect and avoid technology requirements for BVLOS drones are supposed to address this. The idea is that a drone operating beyond the visual line of sight of its operator must have onboard systems capable of detecting other aircraft and taking evasive action, essentially performing the see and avoid function that a pilot performs visually. The challenge is that the technology, while improving, has not yet reached a reliability level that satisfies the FAA for operations across all airspace classes. In the meantime, a few things are worth keeping in mind. Traffic Collision Avoidance Systems, or TCAS, and Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADSB, do not reliably detect most small drones. A small quadcopter or fixed-wing drone operating under 250 grams is not required to carry an ADSB transponder. Even drones that do transmit remote ID signals are not necessarily visible on your cockpit. Avionics, the transponder technology and the remote ID technology are separate systems. What this means practically is that see and avoid is still your primary defense against drone conflicts at low altitude, especially on departure, approach, and in the traffic pattern. The 400-foot operating floor for most drone operations is a regulatory ceiling for them, not a guarantee of separation for you. Not every drone operator follows the rules. Some do not know the rules, and some of the systems now capable of extended autonomous flight are not recreational drones with hobbyist operators. They are more sophisticated than that. Fly aware. If you observe a drone operating unsafely or creating a conflict, file a report with the FAA. The agency uses that data to build the case for improved oversight and enforcement. Now let's zoom back out to the strategic picture, because there's one more aspect of the Ukraine strike worth thinking through. The targets were gas processing facilities, critical infrastructure, the same category of ground installation that supports fuel pipelines, power generation, and industrial supply chains. A successful strike that deep into Russian territory raises an obvious question for infrastructure planners. Everywhere, if a $25,000 autonomous aircraft can fly 2,000 miles and hit a gas plant, what does that mean for the physical security of airports, fuel farms, and aviation infrastructure broadly? This is not a new question. Security professionals have been asking it for years, but the Ukrainian campaign has put it in front of policymakers with more urgency than any theoretical exercise could manage. The Transportation Security Administration and the FAA have been developing counter-unmanned aircraft systems frameworks known as counter-UAS. For critical aviation infrastructure for several years now, the FAA Reauthorization Act of 2024 expanded the legal authority for federal agencies to interdict drone threats near airports and certain other protected facilities. But implementation is uneven, and the gap between policy and actual deployed capability at most airports remains significant. The technology being used to detect, jam, or capture threatening drones is developing quickly. Directed energy systems, net capture drones, high-power microwave systems, and enhanced radar capable of tracking small, slow-moving targets are all in various stages of development and deployment. But the defender's problem is asymmetric. The attacker only needs to succeed once. The defender needs to succeed every time. None of this means your local general aviation airport is a probable target for anything. Let's be realistic about threat levels. But it does mean the aviation industry, from regulators to airport operators to aircraft manufacturers, is going to be allocating significant resources to the unmanned threat picture for years to come. And that resource allocation will shape the regulatory environment, the airspace architecture, and ultimately the experience of flying in ways that are hard to predict precisely, but are coming regardless. Ukraine's drones over Siberia are not just a war story. They are a proof of concept. A demonstration that long-range autonomous aircraft are real, relatively cheap compared to conventional alternatives, and capable of navigating successfully through hostile electronic environments over continental distances. The aviation community has known for years that unmanned systems were going to change everything. Some weeks that change feels gradual. This week it felt like the timeline compressed. AeroTime has the full reporting on the strike. The broader UAS integration context comes from FAA published guidance and Aviation Rulemaking Advisory Committee proceedings. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Keep your head on a swivel out there.